Okay, let's quickly review Pesachim Daf Pei Tes. We learned a brayso in the previous daf that if the hide of a carbon Pesach was found to have a mum, but we can't identify which carbon amongst five of them this hide actually belonged to, none of the five owners has to bring a Pesach sheni because we don't know which one of them hasn't fulfilled his mitzvah with the first Pesach. So the Gemara asks, an Asim Mosar Pesach. So why don't we require each person to try to find a Mosar Pesach, an animal that was designated as a carbon Pesach but can no longer be used as one, and say that if they were already Yotze, this one should be a Mosar Pesach, which is a carbon shlamim in every sense, except that it's limited to be eaten for one day and one night. And if he's obligated in carbon Pesach, then let it count as a Pesach sheni. So Gemara rejects that solution for three reasons. First of all, the Mosar Pesach cannot be brought for this purpose, since a Mosar Pesach requires smicha, leaning on the animal before shechita. Pesach sheni does not require smicha. Second of all, even if the owner is a woman who never has a requirement to do smicha, so smicha is not going to be an issue, a Mosar Pesach cannot be brought with such condition because a Pesach sheni only requires one matandam on the mizbeach, and the Mosar Pesach, which is a shlamim, requires shtayim shein arba, putting blood on two opposite corners, so blood ends up on all four sides of the mizbeach. So that's another difference between the two, so you can't just cover it up that way. And finally, we cannot bring a Mosar Pesach with this condition that it may count as the Pesach Sheni, because the blood of the Pesach Sheni needs to be poured on the Mizbeach, whereas the blood of a Mosar Pesach is thrown on the Mizbeach from a distance. Even though one would be Yotze with Zrika of the Pesach Sheni, we would not recommend doing it Lechatchila. Zok the Mishnah, Ha'omer Lebadavarin Shochet Es Pesach Al Mishi Al Micham Rishon Yerushalayim. If somebody tells his children that he's shechting the Korban Pesach for whoever comes first to Yerushalayim, as soon as the first child arrives, all of the children become registered in the Korban. The Gemara explains that the registration of the child does not rely on Brera, retroactively clarifying that the carbon was shechted for this child, because really the father had all of his children in mind with the Shechita. He only said that he is doing it for whoever arrives first, Kedei Lezarzen B'mitzvos, as a way to encourage them to rush to do mitzvos. The proof that he had everybody in mind is that they all become registered in the carbon, even though only one of them arrived first. Zakta Mishnah, we can keep on registering new people on the carbon Pesach, even if it means withdrawing an entire group and registering an entirely new group, as long as there's enough meat for each person to eat a kazayis. New people can register on the Karm Pesach up until the time of Shechita. There's a machlokas where the people can only withdraw until Shechita, or can even withdraw until Zrika after the Shechita. Zot the Mishnah on Amud Beis, Hamani Imo Acher Bechelko. If one member of the group invited some other people to share his portion without getting permission from the rest of the group, the members of the group can give him his portion and tell him, go eat it with your guests somewhere else. You brought somebody else in. No, you go eat your portion and share it with him. So if one of the members of the group is grabbing more food than he should, can the other members give him his portion and tell him to go eat it elsewhere? So the Gemara tries three rounds. First, our Mishnah seems to prove that they can throw him out, because the reason the members of the group throw out the person who has guests must be that he's going to take too much food. The Gemara rejects this proof because maybe in the Mishnah they can only throw him out because he's bringing new people to the group. Second, a brisa says that if the waiter already ate some of the carbon next to the oven, the other members of the group do not have to eat with him, which seems to prove one member of a group cannot demand to be able to eat with the rest of the group. The Gemara rejects that raya because the group can say that they allow him to eat with them, but they don't want him to be troubled to go where he chose to eat. Finally, the Gemara proves from an explicit brisa that says the members of a group can send somebody who's taking too large a portion away from them. Now, even if it were just two people sharing a regular meal, somebody eating gluttonously can be forced to split with his fair portion. In fact, Rav Huna forced Rav Papa to divide a meal, since Rav Papa was eating four times faster than Rav Huna. Another version of the Shaila is that we knew all along that a person taking too large a portion could be sent away. The real question was whether B'nei Chabura Rasha and L'chalek, when a group eats together, do they have to eat from one big portion, or can they first divide the meal into different portions, the meat into different portions? From the fact that we only allow sending a glutton away, it seems that in normal circumstances everybody has to eat together from one large portion. Then the daf concludes with the braisa that teaches two halachos. Number one, a mana acherim mimal pischav al chag yaso. If somebody takes payment to include others on his Karban Pesach or Karban Chagiga, the money is chulin, it is not hektish money. And the second halacha, hamocher alaso shlama, if a person sells his Karban olah or shlamim, lo asa velo klum, the Karban still only counts as a kapara for the original owner, but as a knas, we make all the money, even if it was more than the animal was worth, go toward paying for communal nedava offerings. That's just an extra knas, but meikar adin, it only counts as a kapara for the original owner.